Praise God. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1, here now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. In Psalm 107, then, we begin the fifth and final book of the Psalter. This is the final book. We are now at the crescendo. We are starting off with a bang of an introduction here in Psalm 107. We will go through various vicissitudes, but the fifth book of the Psalter, if you must put a topic on it, it is indeed the triumph of the kingdom of Messiah. And so what we have here in Psalm 107 is the beginning of that triumph. It is an interesting thing to see here, because the psalm is written with the kind of generic understanding that you can't really take the psalm and point it to any one point of Israel's history. It is, I think, purposely written like that, so that all people of all ages might understand, like the psalm ends, the loving kindness of the Lord, the triumph of the kingdom of Messiah. And so this is set forth ably here in Psalm 107 as an introduction to the rest of Book 5. Some see this psalm as Davidic, speaking of the time when he, as king, gathered all the tribes to himself and consolidated the kingdom. Others see it later, perhaps post-exilic, when the captives returned from Babylon and Assyria. And still others see it completely prophetic, speaking of all ages of the church, and especially the days of Messiah, where he would gather his kingdom from the four winds, and those of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And that's where I fall in the latter category. The psalm is first of all, then, designed to press to our hearts the duty of thankfulness. I hope you heard the refrain, "Oh, that men to the Lord would give praise unto Him for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." I believe, interestingly enough, I thought it was interesting anyway, maybe you don't, but I thought it was interesting that I believe that this phrase is not the end of the section, but the penultimate to the end in each section. So the verse immediately after that belongs to that section. And then two verses later, we start a new section. And I think as we study it together, you'll see that. Notice the first time we see this in verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." Now, how does the next verse begin? "Fools, because of their transgression." In other words, we're beginning a new section. Okay, so that happens every time we see this phrase. Should we ever do a revision to our Psalter, I think we should keep that in mind. All right, so let's go through these sections bit by bit. I have the first as verses 1 through 9, right? So the first time we see that refrain is in verse 8, and then verse 9 belongs to the end of that section. First of all, then, we have thankfulness for the redemption out of the cruel bondage of sin. Thankfulness to the Lord that He hears the cries of His people and delivers them. And so we make use of that, right? Do not hesitate to pray. And then notice, out of deprivation and want of ignorance, into the city of habitation and protection, that the Lord has brought His people. So that's the first section. Hungry, thirsty, their soul fainted. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. Now, at the end of those great blessings that are described in this first section, what does the psalmist say? "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And that refrain tells us what? That we're often slack or behind in our thankfulness to the Lord. Right? And then notice, "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with goodness." And doesn't that summarize what we read in 1 through 7. So the second section there, We begin with such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. While it might have been providential in the first section, here in the second section, it is because of their sin that they're suffering. Notice, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. What does it mean to contemn? It means to hold in contempt. And how do we contemn the counsel of the Most High in our day? How do we do that? By not giving it its proper due. When we don't have the right respect and honor that we ought to show to the Word of God, then we are contemning it. Okay, you remember that the Scripture often speaks in these kinds of extremes. We think of Jacob and Leah, remember? So it says that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. The next verse says what? When Leah saw that she was hated. Right? Because why? Because Jacob's love did not rise to where it ought to have risen for her. So notice, how do we contemn the words of God? We contemn them by not giving them their proper honor and due. All right, because they contemned the word of God, notice he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. But again, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. He brought them out of darkness. Then verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, right? And then why? Because he has broken the the gates of brass and cut the iron bars in sunder. And that relates back to the earlier section. Okay, so now we go to the third section, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So once again, it is on account of their sins that they are afflicted. This is the third section. afflictions and terrors. They cry to the Lord. Oh, sorry. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They are so afflicted for their sins that they are driven to a place where they lose all hunger. They draw near to the gates of death. It's a bodily affliction that falls upon them that originates from their soul through fear, through the judgments under which they have come. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He saves them out of their distresses. And how does he do so? How does the Lord save them? In verse 20, he sends his word and heals them, right? That's how he heals them, by sending his word. Notice it's not food that they needed. Although they had abstained from food, food was not the remedy to their trouble. The word of the Lord was the remedy to their trouble. And then, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And verse 22, then, their proper response is, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. All right, so then in verse 23, we have the next section. And this is talking about a particular employment, those who go down to the sea in ships. Now, the ships that they sailed in those days were not like the some of the ships that sail today that are, you know, 1,200 feet long and hundreds of thousands of displacement, of tons of displacement, and so on, where, you know, those 50-foot waves that rise up are just, you know, just a little bit of a bump in the road to those kinds of ships. No, the kinds of ships we're talking about are 30 or 40 feet long, made of wood with masts. And so when the seas rise, the only thing that you can do is to throw out a sea anchor to align the boat so that it goes into the wind. And so now you're climbing each wave and dropping down. And so each wave that rises up that is taller than the ship, you have to climb to the top of that wave. You get to the crest of the wave, and then you hustle down the other side, and then you come back up again, and so on. And it's a very, well, it's harrowing. It's frightening. And anyone that's ever been in that kind of a sea will tell you that. I had two men that I used to work for that were both in the Navy, and they were on one of those, you know, 300-foot boats, And they had to pass through a typhoon in the Pacific. And to hear him tell that story, it is indeed a harrowing time. It was almost like the ship was hitting ground every time it came down to the bottom of the trough. You know, the ship shuddered every time. That's a steel ship. Imagine a wooden ship that is doing that. So the afflictions and terrors then are asserted as a means to call men back to calling upon God. So those that go down to the sea in ships do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And so the winds rise, the waves rise. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And you understand what's going on there. The boat is moving back and forth and they're staggering. So they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. What a relief such would be, right? Have you ever been in a very frightening circumstance where, and you remember the relief at the end of it? And then notice, not only does he still the storm and calm the waves, but he brings them to the haven. He brings them all the way to the harbor where they can weigh anchor and be safe from the wind and waves. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works and so on. And let him then, notice also, exalt him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And so we're working our way up, aren't we, in this fourth section. Now we're going to offer public praise with the rest of God's people. All right, so then in verses 33 to the end, we have a final section. And in the final section, the refrain does not appear. It's not there. It is a fitting conclusion to the psalm. Whether through dark providence or sin, the afflictions of the Lord come upon his people to humble them so that they will call upon the Lord. He takes a barren ground and causes it to bear and to bring forth and to bud. He brings princes low, exalts beggars and indigents. And note then that when the Lord does all of these things, some of them most unexpectedly, the righteous will see all these works of the Lord, and he will make a right use of them. He will rejoice and bring an end to iniquity. That's what he says. That when the righteous take hold of God's providence, they take hold of it unto what? Unto the bringing down the practice of sin and to lifting up the righteousness of God in all of these providences. Rather than descending into murmuring and complaining, rather than descending into fear and loathing and self-loathing, rather than all of that, what they do is the righteous make use of all of these providences, whether it's the lifting up or the casting down, so that the righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. They don't use it for an opportunity for iniquitous speech. Rather, it is indeed, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness, the chesed, the faithfulness of the Lord. And so the righteous shall see it and rejoice. That's Psalm 107. Let's